Reading from Sri Gopal Champu. This is the 18th Purana of the first section, the first canto, entitled Gotra Vid Garva Kandana Ghogadana Gotra Manavardana. Krishna breaks Indra's pride to pieces and glorifies both the cows and Govardhan Hill. So yesterday we heard about how Krishna had spoken to Nanda Maharaj to convince him about worshipping Govardhan Hill. And Krishna concluded saying that, I who am only a child request you in this way. The cows, Brahmins and Govardhan Hill are all very dear to me. Therefore, if you like, reject this worship of King Indra and instead perform the yajna I have described. The worship of Indra will bring only troubles. So Krishna is telling him this because for the Brijbasis, Krishna is their everything. They don't care about anything except for Krishna. So Krishna is saying that you do this, you worship the cows, Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill because they're all very dear to me and that will please me. Whereas the worship of Indra will bring only troubles. Govardhana is an interesting meaning. Govardhana, one of the meanings is that which nourishes the cows. Another meaning is that which nourishes the senses. Another meaning of Indra is senses. So, if someone worships the senses, if someone worships Indra, trying to get some sense gratification, then Krishna promises in Gita Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yonaya evate ajanta vantakunta yamatesha yamate buddha. That activity will only bring unlimited suffering. But if you worship Giridhaj, who is Govardhana, who nourishes the senses by giving them Krishna prema, then everything will be very nice. Krishna continued, persons like you always act with your bodies, words, and mind only to please me. Therefore, to please me, please perform this yajna. O Father, a wise man always knows what is right and good. If he does not know, then he will not speak. If he knows for certain, then certainly he will speak. Hearing Krishna's glorious, pleasing, and controversial words, and gazing at his face, the people, whether Krishna's kinsmen or not, joyfully came to the following conclusion. What a dearly loved person says, all accept. His words please everyone. If those words are good and reasonable, then who will speak against them? In this way, the people of Braj thought. In the Garga Samhita, this pastime is also given, and it said that when Krishna finished speaking, Maharaj Nanda became stunned in ecstasy. And he couldn't speak. This is partly because of his extreme love for Krishna, but also because it was completely bewildering to him that Krishna, who was such a little boy, was speaking in such a mature way, and speaking all these philosophies and speaking in such a very sweet way. Nanda Maharaj just became mesmerized by his words and stunned. He couldn't say anything. At that time, the other persons who were in the assembly there included Sananda. Sananda is one of the elder brothers of Nanda Maharaj. At that time, he spoke up. And he said, Krishna, your words are very pleasing, and we appreciate them, but please tell us, how exactly should we worship Govardhan Hill? What mantra should we use? And how should we go about the procedure? And Krishna told them, the same thing is given here, that you should worship the Brahmins, the cows, like that. You should offer foodstuffs to Giridhaj, and you should circumambulate. And then he said, for the mantra, Krishna gave a mantra himself. He spoke this mantra, which appears twice in Garga Samhita. Namo Govardhanaya Tubhyam Goloka Malane Parna Brahma Tapatraya Namo Govardhanaya Cha. We offer obeisances to Giridhar, who's the tilak, who's the umbrella over Braj, and is the tilak of Braj. Tilak meaning the blissful smiling face, or that thing which is the most beautiful and wonderful on a person's body. That's the tilak. So Giridhar is the tilak of Braj. He's the main ornament on Braj. So we offered that pranam mantra. Then Madhukanta continues. Pausing to reflect on these words, Madhukanta, his voice now silent, thought, if Sri Krishna spoke words that jump over the conclusions of the Vedas, destroy the real truths of philosophy, and support atheism instead, then it was right for him to do so. For he did it only to manifest his blissful pastimes and to defeat crooked Indra. Still, Krishna did not speak words to refute the importance of following the rituals prescribed in the Vedas. Therefore, it was not improper for Krishna to have spoken these words to King Nanda and the other people of Braj, who, because they were filled with the great wonder of love for Krishna, had already attained the most precious jewel of all goals of life described in the Vedas. The great gurus who teach the philosophy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead know that the people of Braj had already attained the most valuable of all treasures. This is described in the following words of the Bhagavatam 10.14.32. How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men, and all the other inhabitants of Brajabhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune, because the absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal Supreme Brahman, has become their friend. Whatever philosophical conclusions Krishna spoke in the course of enjoying his pastimes contain within them the most exalted supreme goal of life. Just as we were describing yesterday, actually all of these instructions, and if you look at them in another way, they're not incorrect, but there's some parokshava, there's some hidden meaning to them. So therefore, Jiva Goswami says, whatever philosophical conclusions Krishna spoke in the course of enjoying his pastimes contain within them the most exalted supreme goal of life. Aha! Sri Krishna, who is like a moon risen in the family of Braj's King Nanda, thus made arrangements for the most blissful of all festivals. Madhukanta then openly said, and then? Snigdhakanta said, on the new moon day, Amavasya was observed the blissful festival of lamps, which bears the name Deepavali. This is in the month of Kartik. On the following day, Patipat, that's the day that we perform Govardhan Puja. Mm-hmm. Patipat, the day right after Amavasya, the new moon day, the Deepavali. The people of Braj, taking shelter of the supreme shelter, Sri Krishna, observed the festival Krishna had described to them. Decorating the circle of Govardhan's summit with many wonderful and colorful banners, and worshipping Govardhan with very fragrant water for washing the feet, Padya, and with a host of other gifts, the people of Braj placed on the four sides of Govardhan Hill many hills made of food, hills with trickling waterfalls of ghee, colorful mountain minerals made of varieties of colorful vegetables, running mountain brooks of milk, and lakes of yogurt. Before the hills were many apupa and saskuli cakes. Those places were named Apupa Kuta, hills of apupa, and Saskuli Kuta, hills of saskuli. These are mentioned in the 24th chapter of the 10th canto, these two types of cakes. Just two different types of cakes. There were so many of them that one of them was considered to be Apapakuta, a hill of Apupa cakes, and Saskulakuta, the hills of Saskula. The tumultuous instrumental music played at the festival entered even to Swargalok, where it gave great pain to Indra's ears. The Ashvini Kumar physicians gave the diagnosis that this sound was the cause of Indra's terrible earache, an earache like javelins suddenly pushed into his ears. When the Unakut hills of food were placed before Govardhan Hill, a gigantic form of Krishna suddenly became manifest. Sri Krishna's own form was different from this form, only in that Sri Krishna was much smaller. This is mentioned also in Garga Samhita and also in the Bhagavatam, that Krishna manifested a gigantic form at that time and said that I'm non-different from Govardhan Hill. Mm-hmm. Gazing at the gigantic form, the people thought, oh, this giant is tall like a mountain. Is this a dark and fair effulgence? Is it a dark cloud with a lightning flash? Is it a mountain with glittering minerals? Or is it an expansion of Krishna who defeated Putana? This person's form defeats the mountain of black Anjana. His garments defeat the sunrise. His glittering jewel ornaments defeat the sun and all other luminaries. His crown is of thousands of glorious flowers. This person, the personified king of mountains, fills our eyes with wonder. Then, sweet and charming Krishna, who is more wise and intelligent than even the demigod Brahma, respectfully asked, O Lord, who are you? At first, Krishna asked that giant form. At first, the divine form made a rumbling sound like a thundercloud. Then, very unlike a cloud, he clearly said, O little boy with graceful limbs like a festival of bliss, I am Govardhan Hill. Hearing these words, Sri Krishna, who is a friend of the demigods and devotees, and also the friend of Sri Dama and the cowherd boys, extended his arms, silenced the tumultuous cowherd people, and gravely said, we should offer our respectful obeisances to him. This great and invincible deity has very mercifully manifested his great and expanded form before our very eyes. After speaking these words, Sri Krishna, falling to the ground like a stick, offered respectful obeisances. His smiling elder brother, Balaram, also offered respectful obeisances. Their hearts filled with wonder. All the cowherd people also offered obeisances to the great form of Govardhan Hill. As with faithfully folded hands, the people of Braj stood before him. The great form of Govardhan Hill, filling everyone with bliss, again said, I am not like other deities. I do not stay aloof from you. Watch! Before your very eyes, I will eat what you've offered. Having spoken these words, the form of Govardhan Hill began to eat. He ate enormous quantities of vegetables. With a single bite, he ate 70 million pounds of rice. Pulling them all to him, he drank dry a host of tanks, ponds, lakes, and rivers. Whenever he extended his hand to take another bite, all the people of Braj ran to that place. The Chitata birds, they all gazed at him. What an amazing thing, did you see? Giriraj manifested a giant form, extending his hands, huge hands, to eat more when he saw that the Brijbasis would all run to the next place where he was going to eat. With his right hand, he ate and ate great quantities of vegetables and great hills of rice, moving his left forefinger as if to insult Indra. He laughed. As the great deity extended his immeasurable arm to take mouthful after mouthful, all the devotees were covered and darkened by the shadow of his arm. Standing still like a painted picture, the people of Braj gazed at him with wonder-filled eyes. When he had finished eating, not a single grain was left. As the king of mountains thus ate and ate, his great form grew and grew. Pleased, the great deity gave pure bliss to everyone, gave bliss to the frightened small children, the smiling teenagers, intoxicated with youth, the wonder-filled adults, and the saints filled with devotion. It's described in some places that when Giriraj took everything, then again everything was manifest before them. But here in Gopal Champu it doesn't say like that. Elsewhere also it's said that when Giriraj finished eating everything, very famous thing, what did he say? Anior, Anior! Give me more, give me more. In the Brijbasis they say they brought forward a tulsi leaf. Everything is finished, all we have is this. And Giriraj took that and he was satisfied.
Why did the Veena receive Giriraj taking the bowl that
Giriraj in front? We're not so fortunate. But he's taken. From far, far away, taking a great flood of water, the deity of Govardhan Hill again and again rinsed his mouth. Spitting the water to a place behind him, he made a host of grasses suddenly spring up. It's described that so many of the different kuns around Govardhan Hill were full of ghee and soups and milk products and sweets and things to offer to Giriraj. And Giriraj ate everything. They weren't offering him just big pots, the whole lakes, mountains of things. After rinsing his mouth, the deity of Govardhan Hill, employing giant toothpicks of bamboo canes, cleaned the food from between his teeth. By all these activities, he filled the people of Braj with bliss. Then, chewing millions and billions of betel nuts, the deity of Govardhan Hill blossomed with bliss. His face became effulgent like the morning sun. When the time for offering artik came, everyone was bewildered. Everyone thought, how can we offer artik to this gigantic deity? They thought and thought of various possible solutions. Gently smiling, Sri Krishna solved the problem. He manifested a gigantic tray on which were thousands of lamps. As the people moved the tray, the lamps glistened with great splendor. Desiring various benedictions and thinking, may this deity of Govardhan Hill speak to us, the people of Braj bowed their heads and folded their hands and offered prayers. When they raised their heads, the deity of Govardhan Hill began to offer benedictions. He offered boon after boon, whatever the people wished, and then he suddenly disappeared. Like falling sticks, everyone offered respectful obeisances. For two or three moments, everyone was stunned. They were motionless like a painted picture. When they returned to external consciousness, Sri Krishna told all who had come to the Govardhan Hill festival, "Aha! You saw Govardhan Hill mercifully manifest his own enormous form. You saw him eat all the offerings. He will personally tear apart anyone who dishonors him. Having eaten the offerings meant for Indra, he now has great power." The faithful people then began to worship the cows with great love. The cows and cowherd people of Nanda's Braj dearly loved each other. King Nanda and his son Krishna are the ideal examples of that love. How may the cows and cowherd people present at the festival of worshiping Govardhan Hill be described? How did they all appear to the eye? They were all filled with the ecstasy of divine love. Worshipped, adorned with beautiful ornaments, amply fed, and freely associating with their calves, the cows were filled with bliss. Still, it was the sight of Krishna that made them intoxicated with ecstasy. As food adorned with the six tastes, but devoid of sweetness, brings no pleasure, so without seeing Krishna, there was no bliss for the cows. Seeing Krishna the cows were filled with great ecstasy. Their horns adorned with gold, their hooves adorned with silver, and their forms glorious with necklaces and jingling bells. The cows glistened with great splendor. Filled with wonder after worshipping the cows, Krishna and the cowherd people performed achaman according to the scriptural rules, decorated the calves with delightful, beautiful, colorful, and wonderful cloth, decorated the calves with wonderful and colorful pictures, happily played with the calves, happily joked, making a great tumult of laughter, fed the calves, made the calves sit down and rest, circumambulated them, offered obeisances to them, again performed achaman, worshipped the sacred fire by performing an Agnihotra Jagya, circumambulated the fire, keeping the fire on their right side, and then worshipped the priests by offering them gifts of costly ornaments. In this way, they concluded the ceremony of worship. The ceremony of Sri Gopal Puja, worship of Krishna and the cowherd boys, is described in these words. Accepting the worship offered to the cowherds as a part of worshipping the cows, the people worship Sri Krishna and the cowherd boys also. So Govardhan Puja, we can also worship the gwalas, the cowherd men, give them some sweets and give them something to please them, some nice ornaments, some cloth. They worship Krishna and the cowherd boys by bathing them, dressing them in glorious garments, decorating them with decorative tilak, and adorning them with fragrant flower garlands, earrings, bracelets, and other ornaments. Krishna's mother, father, and kinsmen worshipped him in this way for a long time. Their worship seemed to never end, because it never does. They never stop worshiping Krishna. As they worship Krishna, similarly they also worship Balaram. As they worship Balaram, similarly they worship Krishna. Nanda and Yashoda, the king and queen of Braj, saw no difference between Krishna, Balaram, and their cowherd friends. Sri Krishna is approaching the cows, is described in these words. Only when Krishna was happily out of sight would the cows feel attraction for their calves. When Krishna came before their eyes, the cows became wild with bliss. They felt that Krishna had entered their hearts. A tumult of laughter is described in these words. When their calves were taken from them, the mother cows would moo a great lament. When the calves would sometimes pull their mothers with their teeth, the mother cows would become distraught. When the cowherds would joke among themselves, they would create a rich tumult of laughter. All glories to the flowing honey of laughter that became manifest on the lotus flower of Sri Krishna's face. That flowing honey would create a monsoon of intoxicating bliss in every direction. The feeding of the cows is described in these words. The cowherd said, O Krishna, please give the cows some grass, grass mixed with the touch of the lotus flower that is your hand. The sweet fragrance of that lotus flower fills the cows with delight. The grass tastes very sweet to them then, making the cows take rest is described in these words. During the festival of Govardhan Hill, the cowherds had no power to keep the millions of cows in one place. Only when Krishna played sweet music on his flute. A flute more effective than millions of ropes the cow is brought under control. Proclaiming a parikrama of the cows, Krishna said, "There are so many cows, it's not possible to circumambulate them all. Therefore, one cow should be selected, and by circumambulating her, or him as it comes, all the cows will be circumambulated. One grown bull should be circumambulated. In this way, all the bulls and cows will be circumambulated. Just as by watering the root of a tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished." Now here, a simile is given, which is also found in the Bhagavatam, the fifth canto. And it's very interesting that this simile is given about worshipping the cow, and then how all the other cows will be satisfied. That verse, famous verse, yata taro mulana sechanena tripyanti tatskanda bujo pasakaha pranapaha rachcha yatendriyanam savahanam. That it's described that just as by watering the root of a tree, all the leaves and flowers and branches become nourished, so similarly by pleasing Krishna, all the demigods and all the living entities in the universe become pleased also. So rather than worshipping Indra, Krishna is recommending that we worship Govardhan, which, as we'll describe more, I think maybe tomorrow or the next day, is Govardhan is the personification of Krishna's love for Srimati Radharani. So by worshipping Krishna's love, that personification of Krishna's love, Krishna becomes satisfied. Everyone becomes satisfied. By worshipping Govardhan, Govardhana, all the cows become satisfied, all the cows become nourished, all the senses become nourished. Devotion to the cows has offering obeisances to them as its heart. I cannot even come close to describing all the glories of the cows. The cowherd people were naturally devoted to the cows. Nanda Maharaj and his associates were especially devoted to the cows. The great devotion to the cows they manifested during the Govardhan Puja is beyond the power of even the kings of yoga to describe.